Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I am Jessie Ware and I am here through the internet with my mum Lenny. Say hi, mum.
Why are you smiling? No one can see you.
Because you know what? Just before, I can't repeat what we were just talking about before I started the intro, but it's good to know that quarantine hasn't taken away your mouth and attitude.
My sharp sting.
It's Lenny concentrated tonight.
Yeah, it's made it worse because I'm fed up.
You are fed up, aren't you, mum?
Very. Try being on your own for 3 weeks and you'll see how fed up you are.
Well, get ready for 3 months, mum.
It's purgatory.
I'm waiting for that immunity passport so I can come over and give my washing to you again.
Oh, thanks. Not because you can come back and be with me.
Well, no, that'd be nice too. But you know, mum, how you said you don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
Everybody feels like that, by the way. Everybody feels like they're going slightly mad.
So I wake up and I think it's always... I do feel a bit Friday-ish today.
Oh, yeah. Have you got your drink? I've got my G&T.
I've got my drink, but I have a drink every night. Otherwise, I'd go mad. What did you have for your dinner?
I had for dinner, I did broccoli and pea fritters. Why are you making a face? I did it with a tahini yogurt dip and it was really nice. Sorry. My daughter did not eat it, but my son thought it was amazing.
Of course she didn't. It's revolting.
It absolutely wasn't.
Spaghetti bolognese.
It was really nice, actually.
On fish fingers.
It's gourmet in our house. For lunch, she had a creamy mushroom pasta with parsley and garlic. And it was like heaven because I put cream in it. You would have loved it, mum.
Did she like that?
Loved it. Anyway, so tonight we have our favourite kind of Table Manners episode. We've got a Friday night, 7 o'clock, and we have one of the best comedic duos, national treasures, absolute national treasures, Mel and Sue, who I remember watching Light Lunch and just finding them hysterical. A lot of people know them for Bake Off. They have a brilliant new series out on Sky and Now TV called Hitmen, where they play hitmen. And I don't know if they're particularly brilliant at being hitmen. They're just warm, kind, brilliant women, and we can't wait to have them on. It's just a real treat that we've got them, and especially, I think, after a bit of a weird week of just feeling like this situation isn't really changing. So to have Mel and Sue, you know, you've watched them on Bake Off and they were always just so kind, weren't they? You loved it when they used to cry. You used to love it when they'd sob.
I used to sob with them. So I just feel they're very kind, warm human beings.
And funny. And witty.
Funny.
They're good with an innuendo too.
I love an innuendo.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll get any tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Oh, Sue.
Ooh.
Perkins. Oh.
Oh,
hey. Hi. Can you hear us?
It's Al. Hang on.
Thank you for doing this.
You're very, very welcome.
I wondered who was just in your kitchen and were they making dinner and have you had dinner yet?
This is my dinner. I've got my dinner. So I made my dinner.
What is it?
Well, today it's risotto. I've eaten most of it, so this is my seconds. And it's sort of lockdown risotto. You can't really see it. But it's vegetable and I haven't got any parmesan. So
in
sort of true bourgeois fashion, I only had manchego, so I cubed a load of that and shoved it in. And it's actually all right. I know. I mean, really slumming it during this period. But it's actually turned out okay.
Was that because you watched... did you watch Jamie Oliver's Keep Calm and Carry On Cooking yesterday? And he did a kind of primavera...
Did he?
Risotto. Yeah.
I love risotto. I make it like twice a week or something.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't done it yet.
Because it's easy.
Well, what's in your one tonight?
It's leeks, courgettes, French beans finely sliced, asparagus and peas, and a load of cheese. A load of cheese. A bit of booze.
Oh, gorgeous.
All is good.
It's so easy to carry on eating it as well. It's just kind of...
Well, this is my second load, my second attempt at the trough.
And what are you drinking? Is that Vimto?
No, that is water and a bit of old juice that I found. What I'm trying to do is eat everything we've got. So I'm trying to do the opposite of panic buying. I'm very lucky. We had a relatively well-stocked house. I'm going to eat all of that, every single bit of it, before I even attempt to go to the shops and get anything else. So this is a bit of old pomegranate juice that knackered, that was loitering at the back. And it, I have to say, it tastes slightly like it's gone off. It's a slight fizz to it, which isn't accommodating on the palate.
Is it a kombucha now, maybe? You know, it's now really good for you.
I think you're absolutely right. It's gone through a fermentation process, which now means it's gut beneficial.
So hold on, you haven't been to the shops yet?
I've been to get a few, I mean, literally once or twice to get a few, like, absolute essential things like milk and bread. I would have made bread, but there's no flour. But I'm just aware that certainly the first week, I mean, the supermarkets were like a petri dish of sort of foaming humanity at its worst. And I didn't really want to get involved in it. The sort of paranoid, nervous, hypochondriac part of me was like, I'm going to get corona if I go shopping. And the sort of socially kind of aware part also went, man, if there's sort of nurses doing videos about how they can't, you know, find anything to eat at the end of a long shift, and then I can get my fat ass out of a queue pronto. But also local shopping as well. Always go local shopping now. People go, oh, the supermarkets are empty. Just go to your local shop. I'm discovering on the odd occasion I go, I'll get a sort of Turkish delicacy. I've overlooked them before, but why not? Why not experience life in all of its majesty?
So what have you been eating a lot of then? It's been risotto a couple of times a week.
Yeah, quite a lot of... a lot of pies. I had a lot of just roll in the freezer. A lot of vegan just roll. So, load of potatoes and leeks, whatever I could find. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard of Walton Pye. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Basically, he was the Minister of Food during the war, Mr. Walton. And one of his public broadcasts sort of told people, a lot of his public broadcasts told people what to eat. And the Walton Pie was a thing. And it's sort of basically a load of steamed old root veg with a sort of almost like cardboard lid on the top. And that's what I've been making a lot of. Because I had a load of like weird knackered potatoes with sort of tubers growing out of them that I thought I had to use. And a lot of pastry. So pies, and I love a pie.
So was it a short crust?
Yeah. But I haven't made it. It's just you get it out of the fridge, but... roll it out, cut it round, bosh.
But so you were never tempted after Bake Off to ever make your own pastry?
No, I made a lot of bread. I was quite good at making bread. A few of the Paul Hollywood hero bakes were made by me, actually, and my mates in the prep kitchen at the back. Because when I wasn't on, we used to call it the Royal Tour. So, you know, you'd go around all the benches and say, what are you making? And you'd be with Mary and Paul we would alternate. So if it wasn't my morning to do that, I essentially had the whole morning off. And rather than just going and watch telly, my favourite thing would be to go. I absolutely love food and I love cooking. So I would go and hang with Fenya and Becca, my mates, and we would just make stuff. We'd make a Sally Lunn bun. We'd make crew food. So I've made most crew lunches most days. They'd have pizza and brownies and curry and whatever else we could scrape together. And genuinely, it was some of the happiest times on that show, was just making food for hungry crew. He would carry little sporks on chains and dig in. It was lovely.
That's
lovely
amazing.
Thing.
And what was the crew's favourite Sue dish?
It was always pizza, actually, because, you know, mainly it was sweet stuff on Bake Off. So, yeah, we'd do tray bakes and stuff, but it was a bit of a busman's holiday. So if you come up with anything savoury, it was a win. But the pizzas were good. I'm quite good at making a good thin pizza dough crust. And then because the kitchen's obviously sort of laden with the spare ingredients from the bakes, there would always be cheese, prosciutto, rocket. Those are good stuff. And we'd just whack that on there, roller it all up with the old pizza roller or pizza wheel, and get it out on a board. And I don't have any of that fancy stuff at home. You know, I don't have a sort of slate board or a big wooden board. So everything just looked better in that context. If I was to make it here, it would look a bit, I don't know, look a bit substandard.
Hello, sailors.
Oh, hold on, you're on. Hey!
Hey!
Macy, it looks like you've rigged up a makeshift theatre in your house, you rancid ham.
She looks like she's in Topshop changing rooms.
Mel's only not been on television for 7 days and she's built her own theatre upstairs. Just so to keep the hand in, darling, because one can get very slack.
So we are now with Mel and Sue. Mel is in her wardrobe and I can see a dog tooth jacket and a blue lacy, like with a white lace trim.
So that's where
trim.
It is.
I love this dress.
And please explain why you're in a wardrobe.
Well, Jessie, I'm honoured, can I just say, to be on your and your mum's podcast. It's really lovely of you to have us. And I just thought for best quality... I would surround myself.
It's good.
So professional, Mel.
Oh, always, my darling. Deaden the sound with some clothes.
She likes to come pre-muffled.
Always.
Can I ask, what's one of your most memorable meals together? Or is that kind of, are there too many?
It's got to be, what do you think, Perk? That's a really good question.
Well, matey,
hang on.
Oh, matey, I've got loads of them.
Yes, my 24th birthday in the Polish club.
Oh, incredible. Pierogi?
Yeah, pierogi always.
Always the pierogi. What else was there? A lot of vodka.
Loads of vodka. Zrazy, which is a sort of beef, a Polish beef stew dish. I think we...
Borscht.
To start with. There had been some quite intensely sort of breadcrumbed vegetables. They love to breadcrumb their vegetables, the Poles. Heavy
and
bread.
Everything. Crumb. Pork and cabbage. Piggy and cabbage.
Yeah, absolutely. And some...
The twin pillars of
and
Polish food.
Very heavily alcoholic cake to finish off with. Always sodden with alcohol. Always.
Can I ask, apologies, are you Polish or did you just fancy a Polish do on your 24th?
Jessie, look at her name.
I know. Okay, fine. So, but do you...
The name is a clue.
So have you spent a lot of time in Poland?
No, my dad was Polish-Lithuanian, so he used to go to the Polish club because he pitched up in England in 1947 and he used to go to the Polish club in the late 40s.
Which
and it's
one?
Just a
the
place.
One in, the gorgeous one in Kensington?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so fabulous, decadent. And
isn't
have they done it up?
No, never, Lenny.
Still fabulously decadent and urban,
And there's a massive portrait in the dining room of Rula Lenska, which is always a glory to behold.
It is really extraordinary in all her Titian wonderment.
With a sort of backlit.
A lot of memorable meals involve Polish food. There was a fantastic restaurant called Patio on the Uxbridge Road. Yeah. And the woman that ran it... around about sort of midnight, as most restaurants would wind down, she'd have a sort of lock-in. A load of musos would come in and play sort of Chopin and sort of old sort of folk sort of songs. And then she'd get the honey vodka and the cherry vodka out for free and we'd get absolutely battered.
It was always cherry vodka, as soon as you walked in, do you remember?
Vodka.
Cherry vodka. Yes. But that's closed. It's closed. I tried to find Patio online. I thought, oh, brilliant. It'd be great to go there, son. It's closed.
I tell you what hasn't closed, Macy, which makes me think of you every time I drive by, which is annoying because I drive by every day and I don't wish to be reminded of you on such a constant level.
What is it?
Bintang.
Oh, stop it.
Kentish Town.
Stop
it. Love Bintang.
Bintang, Jessie.
So good.
So we spent years going to Bintang.
Yeah.
Every birthday, every celebration, coconut rice, shed ton of booze.
And garlic. You can't go out after. You have to stay together as a pack after it because you stink of garlic.
It's true.
There was a lovely guy. There was such a lovely guy that used to run it. I can't remember his name, but he was so hospitable. And there were always cocktails with, an umbrella and a sparkler. And we did loads of birthdays in there, Perk.
We
did
loads. I would also say, when I think of you... I think of...
I know what you're going to say.
A spud you like.
I was going to say Victoria Station.
Victoria Food Court.
Yeah.
Spud you like.
And basically this sort of... I don't know, you think of those big sort of moments in personal histories. Like you think of the Blair Brown Summit at Granita and they were probably having some posh meal. We started working together and we decided we were going to go and do Edinburgh over a baked potato in Victoria Food Court.
You go up the escalator... in Victoria Station, and there used to be, I don't know if there still is a food court there.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, it's all sort of lush now, isn't it?
They've got a market hall now.
Oh, whoa.
Like, they've got, like, it's a food hall, but it's like, you know.
Oh, really?
Mate, it's all changed. Victoria's gone well posh.
Yeah, it's well posh.
We used to share a baked potato. I think we had absolutely no money. Oh, there was one whole year when we survived on luncheon vouchers. Do you remember that?
Mate, it was Virgin train vouchers.
Oh, where did we get them from?
We got two. Well, we survived on two things. So I think you'd got the luncheon vouchers for something.
I can't remember.
I'd written a sort of 17-page snotty letter to Richard Branson about a train journey we'd done back from the Edinburgh Festival.
Yes.
And got what seemed to be hundreds of pounds worth of train vouchers, which at the time were sort of National Rail generics that you could use anywhere and everywhere. So obviously everything sort of, it feels sort of hugely free and exciting when you were young. But it seemed to me that we just travelled and ate like kings for like a year or all.
Did we have to eat on a train though to get food, or could we get food?
No, I think the luncheon vouchers were separate. I can't remember.
I don't know where I got those from.
Luncheon vouchers were redeemable. Mate, another place I've just thought of. See if you can think.
Hang on.
I'm beaming it to you. Think of a twig in the hair.
Oh,
Charlotte's now, in West Hampstead.
Charlotte's. Do you remember Charlotte's, Jesse and Lenny? It was in West Hampstead.
I'm South London, so I only know Bintang from my North London friends, but Charlotte's I don't know about.
Oh my God, she was amazing.
She had an enormous, she was Austrian and would, slightly nuts, and would say, she would come to the table and goes, hello, Mazenose. For sir ordering now. And what would you like?
Apfelstrudel, mein darlings, yes. Always.
Oh, and some schnitzel would be Mazenose.
And she had an amazing, I think it was a wig. An extraordinary hairdo.
Flammable.
It was like an enormous nest sort of atop her head with, we thought, twigs in it, but it might have been knitting needles or I don't know what it was. But she gave us a lot of stuff for free as well. I think she sensed we were on our uppers. People that give you food for free in their bar, restaurant, I think they should be knighted. Yep. They're so kind, those people. Do you know what I mean? They're so sweet.
Especially when you're young and you're a student or you haven't got any money. I remember once I was in Hampstead. When we sort of left college, I was living essentially in a squat in Hampstead with our mates. And can I name and shame? Can I just say who it was?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it was Louis Patisserie on Heath Street.
I remember Louis. It's still there.
Is it?
So we walked in. Me and my mate Phelpsy walked
they
in.
They weren't
there.
Kind in there, actually.
They're not kind. Admittedly, we looked like a right pack of ruffians. And they blocked us. And we just came in for a cup of tea. And we were signing on, but we had money. And I've never forgot it. And never went in there again, even when I had money.
You could go in there and you could be Julia Roberts and go in and go, big mistake, big mistake.
Yes! And they'll go, God, Sue Perkins is a real narcissist. She walked in here, apropos of nothing. But yeah, it really upset me that, because I just thought, oh, my money's not as good as everyone else's money. And because we weren't, you know, I'm not a very snappy dresser at the best of times.
I hate going into a shop and or a restaurant, and if somebody looks you up and down to see what you're wearing, that I turn on my heel and go, I can't bear that.
You should put clothes on, mate.
Do you think that's it, mate?
I told you that. You must stop. Oh, God.
You're absolutely right.
Just ruffles feathers.
You're absolutely right.
Pop a pair of pants on.
Do you miss the bake-off?
There's a time in spring when just it starts to get warm. It's sort of about now, actually, and the blossoms starting to come out and the daffodils are out. When I do get a bit of a kind of, I get a bit of a pang, because I just remember that was always the time of year that we started filming, and we'd be in this beautiful place in Berkshire, and it was just good times with Paul and Mary and having a laugh. Those are the times I remember.
Is Paul fun?
He is good fun.
When we were there, he was really good fun. And stuff happened that made us incredibly sad and incredibly hurt. And, he was always like family for years and years and years. And I think it's painful when those things end, especially in the way that they did end.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say, Melly?
Absolutely.
I'm devastated about what happened, about lots of it, but I just feel sort of talking about it is just really, it's just uncool, and you start pointing the finger and then you become as bad as everybody else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it is what it is.
We had Sandy Toksvig on and we said, do you feel a bit worried that Mel and Sue would be a bit upset? And she said, no, we're all professionals. They won't mind that I'm doing this job.
No,
I think everyone does it their own way, you know. The show is big enough, you know, the show is about the bakers. That's what makes the show, really. And whoever's at the helm of it is going to put their own twist on it, their own spin. I mean, I like to think that Perks and I sort of created the tone for it.
You did.
The most amazing tone.
Well, we wanted it to be kind. We wanted the stories to kind of unravel organically and slowly and not to be a kind of sensationalist.
No jeopardy.
Yeah, no sort of...
Fuck jeopardy.
Yeah, yes. We wanted it to be a kind of a comforting watch, and you know, hopefully we sort of establish that, and then other people do what they want with it, but hopefully that kind of stays. I haven't seen it.
People will take over and have, as Melly says, they'll have their own spin, and good luck to them. There's no rancor there. I think Matt will do an amazing job.
Yeah,
because I've heard terrible stories about people crying and production staff telling people what to do and people being really upset.
It's stressful. It's a very, yeah, very stressful show. I wouldn't survive half an hour on the Bake Off. I would be in floods. I'd be a limpid rag of sodden tears. So people do cry, but our job, we felt, was always to try and get people through that and comfort them and help them, as opposed to just kind of saying, you know, oh, guys, come over here quickly, she's crying, get the camera on this person.
Look, her biscuit tower's collapsed. Let's just let's get seven cameras and a microphone up her arse and watch her in real time collapse.
Yeah.
Mel, before you came on, we were talking to Sue about what she's been eating a lot of during lockdown. And I just wondered what's it like in your household? What have you been eating a lot of? We know what you're having for tea, for dinner.
It hasn't arrived yet.
Noticed, your daughter's in the kitchen.
Is it Flopper's making it?
Yeah, Floss is making it.
Poor Cinderella.
I can't even smell any action coming from the kitchen, gang.
You're too muffled.
No, actually, yes, I need to get out of this blooming clothes situation. She promised it would be with me by 7:45. It's now 7:47.
Matey, that's only 2 minutes late. That's quite tough parenting. That's military, mate. Yeah. That is military, mum.
Talking of military, so my beloved husband, Ben, who we do call military dad, his plan for lockdown is to work our way through the cupboards.
This is exactly what I've done.
The same as you.
Is that you, Perk?
We are, mate, so... the product of our families.
I know, of our parents.
I'm making up weird shit.
Yeah.
From stuff clagged at the back of the cupboards.
What have you had, Perk? What's been your cupboard special?
There's been a lot of curious pasta shapes, I won't lie. Things that were bought, obviously, you know, on the hoof.
I know.
Thinking, oh, that looks like a lovely artisanal dusted sort of earlobe-shaped pasta. Bang that in the back of the cupboard and forget about it for 3 years. There's been some quite rancid soup, which I thought I'd rejig by putting some rice in there, bit of cheese.
Lovely.
Boke, triple boke.
Oh.
And what else? Knackered old biscuits that I broke up into a crumble, which was quite good, actually.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Do you know what? It wasn't half bad. Yeah. It wasn't half bad, that. I was quite pleased with that.
What were the biscuits? What kind of biscuits?
They were the ones with the animal on. Is it mini milks?
Oh, I love those. The zoo
no,
ones.
No, malted milk.
Malted milks. Yeah,
malted milk.
Like
I love malted milk. With a cow on. Yes. I love a malted milk. Lovely. They're good dunkers.
What else?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lots of noodles I had as well. Lots of old packs of noodles.
Strong.
It's been carby.
Oh, I'm very carby, I'm afraid. I'm super carby.
No, I like it.
She likes her carbs. She does.
Melly's less carby. She's quite... Well, Mel's quite good on routines of food.
Really? We found a really slightly dismal and dusty collection of beans, dried beans.
Ooh.
And sort of haricots and...
from the Woa.
Flageolet beans from 1947.
Oh, and
we soaked these beans for like literally about 36 hours and then boiled them for about 8 hours, added a load of chilli, garlic, onions, tomato. Do you know what? Pretty darned good. And then we
banging.
And
oh, really?
Then we guffed for about 20 hours. We were trumpeting.
I can't do it, mate. It's too Windy Miller for me.
It was unbelievable, mate. The smells and sounds coming from our house were phenomenal.
Apparently bicarb is good. When you cook
bicarb.
Them, You put bicarb in.
It sort of counteracts the...
Something to do with that. I read. I've never done it because I don't work well with a bean. Yeah. I've got lots
My
of them.
My friend uses bicarb in bread.
Oh,
she doesn't use yeast. But I want to know, because Sue, have you got a sourdough starter about your person?
No, but you know what I did have for ages?
What?
Paul gave me.
Oh, yes. I bet he's got a few sourdough starters.
Oh, I imagine he has.
He'd like to show them to you as well, Lenny.
I'd love to see his sourdough starter.
We've got his number. We can get him round to give you a bit of a sourdough starter. Yeah, he gave me sourdough starter that was the mother. It was 75 years old, the mother. So they'd just been taking bits off, adding to it. He'd got it when he was in Italy and gave me a bit. And I kept it alive for about 6 months and made some incredible bread out of it. And then the problem with sourdough is it's like having a dog. You wouldn't ever leave a dog for 2 days.
It's like a Tamagotchi.
Yeah, it's a Tamagotchi.
Bread. So like I effed off for like, I don't know, I went on a mini break or something. You can't mini break with sourdough starter. Fuck that. You've got to be on it.
You have to take it with you.
It died.
It died. How does it die? It does it just desiccate?
Yeah, what does it look like when it dies?
Yeah.
Well, you put it in, you basically take a bit off as if you're going to make the bread, and the bread is like a brick, so it has no aeration.
Yeah.
And it's basically just gone back, there's no bubbles in it, it's just gone back to being like
sludge.
Flour and water.
Sludge.
This sludgy.
Does it?
I murdered a 75-year-old Italian starter. And,
what was he called? What was he called?
Giuseppe.
Giuseppe.
Giuseppe. See, Giuseppe. I killed Giuseppe.
Oh, I've never tried a starter. I'm a bit scared of bread, actually, which is stupid. I'm scared of it.
Me too.
Melly loves pastry. I love bread.
Yeah. There's one recipe that Paul showed us, actually, which was really, really good, which only involves water, dry yeast and flour and a bit of oil. And it's brilliant.
Oh, I could do that.
It's really good, Jessie. It's really good. I'll send it to you.
Where did you grow up?
Me. Again, another thing that Perks and I share is that we both grew up in Surrey, in the burbs.
Surrey?
Yeah, I was on the outskirts of Leatherhead in a little, near a village called Fetcham, in a 1968 built cul-de-sac for the first 11 years of my life, and very, very happy years they were, actually. I'm slightly obsessed with Leatherhead. It seems to feature a lot. In fact, Sue and I have a band called Leatherhead, and we need to start practicing, mate.
Oh, shush. Should we know about this band? Can we hear you on Spotify?
Not yet.
There was only ever one gig. In fact, two gigs, Jessie. One in St Albans, in a place in St Albans, and the other at my brother's 40th birthday party. We've never played since. We've never played. He's 60. He's 60 now.
Mate, half of Leatherhead played at your birthday.
That's very true. Half of Leatherhead played at my 50th birthday. That is very true.
Do you
true.
Wear leather?
No. We need to talk about costumes, actually, Perk. I've got some ideas. We need to get Leatherhead.
Fab.
We need to get Leatherhead off the ground.
The older I get, the more naked I want to be. The more
Strong.
That my body resembles a sort of flesh landslide, the more I want to free up and just show it off.
Yeah, man. I might wear a bikini this year. I might just wear a bikini. I haven't worn one since I was about 15.
You think, fuck
yeah,
it.
Show
oh, God, that's the last thing I bloody yeah. want.
I want to
I'm going to go topless with a pair of leather chaps, and I might wear some Swedish, you know, those sort of blonde plaited wigs.
Yes.
Might do that.
Like Mariah Carey.
Yes, exactly. I want to get in the back garden when the weather gets warmer and just get all the scars out, the stretch marks, the rolls, the dimples. I want it all out. I've decided.
Get it out.
I've turned a corner, lads. I've turned a corner.
So you're from Leatherhead as well, Sue?
No, I'm from a charming little hamlet called Croydon.
Croydon?
On the A23, yeah. That's where
yeah,
I hail
we're,
from.
Well, we're South London. I'm Clapham.
Oh,
are
lovely.
You?
So we're on the way to Croydon, absolutely.
Oh, everything's on the way to Croydon. But the thing is, you usually get off and start in life
and
before
you, go,
you get
keep
there.
Going.
Yeah. I mean, it's either you're either going to sort of down the A23 to get to sort of Balham and Clapham, or you're going to Brighton. But you don't normally stop off at Croydon. But actually, I'm like, Melly, I had an incredibly happy childhood and just pretty sort of blissful, really, and kind of quite regimented, quite strict parents like Melly's.
Strict mums. We both got strict mums.
Strict?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
Jessie's a strict mum.
Are you, Jessie?
Are you?
Off. What, because I make her finish her dinner?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know if that's
she's
the right
three.
Thing to be doing or not, because she's just like, it's
she's three, you make
her
spinach and
every...
broccoli pancakes, for God's sake.
She likes broccoli. She likes peas. I put it in a pancake. She should fucking like it.
Yeah.
Eat it.
She didn't, though, did she? Did you see I put some little magic stars in the yes, little shopping
mum.
Thing?
Yeah. Yes. You know what she said tonight, though, which I thought was quite interesting? She's pretending she's got a baby in her tummy at the moment. I don't know why, but she said, "My baby doesn't like this, Mum." And I said, "Well, your baby needs to learn some manners."
That's cunning.
"And your baby needs to appreciate it." She went, "My baby just doesn't like it. My baby likes the chocolate."
That's brilliant.
Quite clever.
And she's three. Gosh, she's going to, yeah, she's
very, very
bright
clever.
As a button.
But how was it with dinner times with both of you, with your strict mums? Was kind of dinner time fun time? Or
It was great. I mean, my mum was an amazing cook, and Perks's mum, I can absolutely tell you straight up, is an amazing cook as well. We once timed our dinner time. And it was 6 minutes. I mean, we ate.
It's military.
Really yeah. quickly, because there were six of us, four kids and two parents. And it was just a race from start to finish. Was your family like that, Perks?
Yeah, it was the roving fork from my brother. Yeah. So it would just be anything he could get on the end of his fork.
Yeah.
Just eat in everyone's food. Yeah, it was huge amounts, piping hot, dished up on the absolute stroke of six and gone by 5 past.
Yeah.
So actually it was 6:30, and my dad would come home from work and he'd go upstairs and, you know, he'd wash and, you know, shave and then come down, and then it would just be poof, like locusts. Locusts. And, you know, before that it would just be, you know, home from school, I'd eat a sort of pack of biscuits or a load of white bread and jam, fall asleep, pretend I'd done some homework. Then there'd be sort of endless sort of music practice. It'd be sort of scraping of violins and piano and all sorts of stuff. We were quite musical as a family. And then Dad would come home and then it was just scoff and then telly.
Yeah.
And it was always, Dad would always have the remote. So you were always stuck with some horrendous sort of question of sport style sort of awfulness. Yeah.
So, Mel, what were you eating at
pierogies?
Oh, a lot of pierogies. So my mum is English, but she learnt all her Polish cooking off my granny, so her mother-in-law.
That's great.
But I also remember, I mean, sheer kind of 70s, coming home from school, putting away half a loaf of white bread with margarine and sugar. Sugar sandwiches.
Wow.
I remember those.
Oh, delicious.
So good. Banana sandwiches.
Cinnamon toast, mate. Cinnamon sugar on buttered bread.
Stop it. I mean.
Delicious.
Being so hungry. I remember that hunger after school. That guy used to love that. He used to love that. And then.
Famished.
Famished. And I remember. I remember when sort of things weren't going so well in at some point in the 70s, and I think money was a bit tight, and my mum having to sort of, you know, make do with sort of endless cauliflowers and you know, I think it must have been quite tough on her, actually, now I think about it. We weren't a big sort of, you know, Sunday roast every Sunday kind of family. It was good food, though. Faggots, though, not good. Faggots, did you ever have those in the 70s?
No. What is a faggot?
They're like meatballs, but made with kind of more scrappy meat, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Cheap cuts. Yeah.
And lots of fat in them.
Gonaddy action there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had lots of things like, because again, we didn't have a lot of cash. So my mum was an earlier adopter of soya mints, which used to come in packets from Sainsbury's, and it was just pence. And it was sort of dehydrated soya chunks. And then you just basically smash that with a load of boiled water and a tin of tomatoes and whatever. And a lot of, I always remember, dried mixed herbs.
Dried mixed herbs.
A lot of dried mixed herbs. And and parmesan cheese that stank like inside
Sick.
Of a rugby player's jockstrap.
Vomit.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Vomit. All that dusty, and that would go on your spag bol.
Horrible.
My mum was really good at curry, actually. She was, you know, fair play to her, but sort of she seemed to do that before other people did it. She was really, really good at curry. We had a lot of curry in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, a Vesta curry, I remember, from the 70s. Delicious.
So where you met at university?
We did, yeah, we did. We met in 1988... I was the year above Perks.
She's older.
Which
she's much
it really
older.
Annoys me. Sometimes I'm 2 years
it
older than her. Sometimes
me.
It's just one,
really like it.
But sometimes it's two. Are we two or one at the moment? I'm 51.
You're
at the moment.
About
what are you, 50?
To be 52.
Oh, you don't look God, it, darling. You look fabulous. Oh, you look gorgeous.
Thank you, Lenny.
I mean, I can't so see much you, of you my... with all the coats around you, but you look. What I can see, you look great.
Thank you, Lenny. You're very kind. But, yeah, so Perks showed up and I was really grateful because there weren't that many women at the time, or girls, that were into doing comedy. And the two of us kind of met, I think, through a shared love of comedy, really. And
which we've never done since.
You're the funniest pair I've ever met. Oh, and I really wish we met you properly and been. And I could.
I know it's really annoying that we're not cooking you a dinner.
Yeah.
Next time.
What would you have cooked?
Well, we might have done our Friday night dinner with chicken soup with matzo balls. And do you eat meat though, Sue?
Not now. I've quit now.
I would have done a veggie matzo balls for you.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just given up, and I've sort of had sort of phases of being vegetarian, and I just, yeah, that's me done now. I think
is it the
you
whole
think
thing?
You are a veggie, fully committed.
Yeah, it means I'm eating a lot of bread and cheese.
It's quite nice, right? Though.
It's oh, I really love delicious. Bread and cheese. I love cheese and crackers, mate.
Me too.
I'm
going
to have that tonight.
But do you know what? Cheese, cracker and chutney. I am getting through pots of Roddy chutney.
It's like Christmas at the moment, isn't it? Well, apart from the pandemic, but you know, the cheese and chutney bit.
And it's the store cupboard thing, isn't it? We've got like 6 jars of chutney. You know, people are really sweet. They give it to you for Christmas. We are motoring through that stuff. It is so delicious.
What's your cheese of choice at the moment?
Oh, it's a strong cheddar, mate. It sounds dull, but a really strong...
Yeah, me too.
Strong,
I love it.
A strong cheds. Oh, there's a thing called a poacher.
Godminster's good.
Oh,
a poacher.
Oh, yeah.
What's a Godminster? Does that come
Does
in
it
a
come
wax?
In a circle?
Yes. Yeah. It's have you had the Black Bomber? That's also nice. But Godminster cheddar is great. Yeah. I'm into smoked cheddar at the moment.
I love a smoked cheese. I love
I don't because it reminds
cheddar
me
works.
Of childhood. It reminds that wheel of plasticized Bavarian
cheese. Yeah, that funny and it had a kind of brown
Bavarian cheese.
On the outside.
A skin. Gang, big news. Big
what?
News.
What? You've got dinner.
I can hear steps.
Floppers.
Hey, Veet.
Hey.
Come and say
hey,
hi, Veet.
Look at that furry thing.
Hi, darling. Come on through. Hello.
This is me.
Veet is.
That's Jessie, that's Lenny, and there's Perks.
Hey, guys. Nice to see you all.
Hi.
Spinach and ricotta pie with green beans.
Thank you so much. I've spinach and ricotta pie with green beans. Veet, thank you so much, my love. Have you had
your
some,
daughter is so polite.
What's they're wonderful,
so
the pair of them.
Look. No, it's
honestly,
fine. I'm good.
The pair of them are just
oh,
joyful.
Oh, bye, darling. Lovely.
They're so
bye,
nice matey. To each other.
Guys, so look at how... that.
Oh, wow.
Matey, show me.
Oh, bless her.
Gorgeous.
Can you see that?
Oh, my God, that looks good. That's oh,
beautiful.
My God, that looks
I mean,
good. Matey, is that short crust?
It's a puff. It tastes... It smells amazing. Do you mind
God,
if I eat, guys?
No.
No, please eat.
How many children have you got?
I've got... Oh, hello. Sorry, love. I've got... I've got to get this dress out of the way.
How old are they?
One is 17 and the other is 16.
Oh, so they're A-levels?
GCSEs.
And A-levels.
Double whammy.
Poor thing.
But isn't it quite good? Because then they get marked. Is it not good? I don't know.
I think it's bad.
When they first heard, to be honest, between us, they were absolutely devastated because
I'm sure.
They work so hard, they gear up for it. It's all they talk about for blooming 3 years. But now, oh
they've
my
adjusted.
God. They've adjusted, and I think they're quite relieved.
Well, if the teachers, they said this morning that the teachers are going to score them.
Yeah, but can you imagine the pressure on the teachers, though?
Poor things.
That is an awful thing.
People are going to go in and kill them.
Parents are going to be going nuts, aren't they?
Yeah, I would have scored really, really, really badly.
In my mocks. Same here. Same here, mate.
I was really, really not good at school, and I would just, I had massive attention issues. And so everything that I did would always be last minute and then would get it smashed for the exams. I wasn't somebody who would have ever been able to have coped with a continuous assessment thing. I would have failed everything.
Yeah.
It's really hard because people learn in different ways. And, and much as I think probably, you know, I'm sure finer minds than mine have probably worked out this to be the fairest system. Some people will get massively downgraded.
I think most people, they arse around during mocks, don't they? And then you pull it out of the bag for the
and
real
then you
thing.
Get frightened exactly with the results, and then you work hard.
Yeah, I got a U in one of my mocks.
This is delicious.
Is it delicious?
Oh, yeah, it's really yeah. good, actually. It's delicious.
I loved how she presented it to you, by the way. It was like, this is a spinach and ricotta pie. It was so polite. And
she's been training them as waitresses.
I really hope my daughter and I speak to each other like that.
Yeah. I think she saw you there, guys, and she thought, oh, I better.
Up I liked again, it. Yeah. A star.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Can I ask both of you, I wonder yes. whether yours will be slightly similar or whether you can answer this for each other, but Last Supper.
Oh, like Mr. Starter, and Mrs.
Ask her.
Derek Beatty. Mr. and Mrs., let's go.
We've got the headphones on.
We've got the soundproof booth. We've got the soundproof booth, guys.
Yeah. Oh, right. This is everything I've ever wanted.
Okay, so starter, main, pud, drink of choice.
Oh,
are
wow.
you going to guess each other's?
I think... it'll be stuff that reminds us of childhood, probably.
And also, Perk, yours might involve meat.
Yes, it probably would.
Because you used to eat meat, now you don't.
Yeah. Macy, what would your starter be? I'm sorry, I might go for a real old-fashioned crunchy iceberg lettuce, marrow sauce,
prawn cocktail. Mate, I was just about to say that. A ruddy prawn
ding,
cocktail.
Ding.
so delicious.
Where would you get it from? Is there somewhere that you remember, or just kind of, you know, just
oh, I'd probably
childhood?
Make it because yeah. you get some really good quality prawns and yeah. just, but it's the crisp of the lettuce and just slatherings of it. Don't serve it to me in a cocktail glass. Don't yeah. insult me. I'm going to want it in a massive bowl,
yeah.
just dribbling full of filthy ketchup and mayonnaise.
It's so yeah. 70s. It's really comforting, yeah. that, isn't it?
Sue, are you not eating fish anymore? Are you full vegetarian now?
Yeah, it's quite hard. I won't lie. Because I
Matey,
really,
no fish.
Really miss
no fish.
Fish. I really miss yeah.
Why are you not eating
because
fish?
You can't have a moral view and then go, but I eat fish. So I'm just trying it.
Does your partner not? Is your partner of the same view as you?
More flexible.
Yeah, flexitarian, so, we're called.
Yeah,
they're called.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say that Gizzy Erskine's just set up this restaurant in St. Martin's Lane Hotel or St. Martin's Hotel, whatever it's called The Nightery, and I had one of the best, prawn cocktails
prawn
there.
Cocktails.
And I just thought, if you want to...
Is it lovely? Relax. Why was it so good?
I don't know, it was just generous. Mm. Massive prawns too. So they weren't yeah. the little... bitty ones.
Oh, yeah.
And actually she did this really good cook along the other day where she made this is not helpful for you at all, Sue, but she recreated a Big Mac and the iceberg lettuce she iced, which I presume that you'd do with
ice. She put it
as well
on
to get
ice.
That kind of yeah, you yes. ice it.
I thought you meant she'd put icing on it. I was thinking...
The me too at
no,
first.
No,
yeah.
No. You ice the yeah, anyway, she's a proper
super
chef.
Fancy.
Wow.
But okay, so we've got the starter. What's next? We're on to main.
I know.
You having your drink of choice with your main, or is it an after drink, or is it a starter drink?
I'd say, for me, I don't know about you, little Perk, one word, well, let's say two words,
Christmas dinner. I'd have yeah. the full ruddy
again,
turkey,
you smashed it apart, mate. You
turkey,
absolutely
gravy, cranberry, stuffing,
bread sauce, yeah.
bread sauce,
a whole vat of bread sauce,
devils on horseback,
roast potatoes, oh. Hasselback potatoes, mashed potatoes, boiled potatoes, chips,
bit of sweet corn,
everything,
a little bit of sweet,
sweet corn has
there.
No place. Sweet corn has no place on a Christmas
Matey.
Table.
Or in the mate. In the 70s and 80s, we always had a little bit of sweet corn. I know it's, it might sound a bit weird, but it gives a nice crunch. Gives a nice crunch.
And a sweetness. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Right, if you get the dessert right, you are Mrs. and Mrs.
Oh, now, this is interesting. This is interesting because, there's so...
Yeah.
Ooh,
and has Bake Off changed you in your puddings now?
Okay. You know what I'm
going to
say.
They look like they've got it. There, they both know. Come on.
You know what I'm going to say, mate.
Well, mate, I'm torn between two for you.
Bake Off series.
Is it Mary's Midnight Mocha?
Yes, thank you, Mary Ann's Midnight Mocha Flan. Come on.
So that is unbelievable. Imagine the most unctuous chocolatey, dark chocolate with coffee, espresso, sort of thick.
Yeah.
Fudgy filling in an
open
beautiful
flan.
Biscuity open
tart.
Flan.
It was.
No, tartlets,
is this a Mary Berry special?
Marianne Borman.
Season three.
Yeah, she
season
third.
Three.
She came third. She came
third. Re-worship at the altar.
Oh,
of
she's
Borman's.
So great. She was such a good baker.
Should she have won? She should have won.
She didn't quite have the. Basically, everything she made was delicious, but it came out absolutely enormous. So she was told to make putty four, and they'd come out sort of putty 16s. You know, they were...
I love that about her.
I know. That's what we love. But they said, oh, yeah. No, it's not dainty enough, you know. She was an amazing baker. She is an amazing baker. And she owns something like 800 cookbooks.
She's sort of a cookery historian now. She's really worth following on Twitter. I mean, they all are. They're all great. But
she was absolutely brilliant.
Matey, did we pick a pudding? Because I'm torn now.
Well,
because I'd have said
Mary Ann Mocha, Midnight Mocha.
We
for
did
me.
Right, but my second for you is a crumble because it's just it's always been
come on.
There.
Come
I
on,
like a tiramisu though. Quite I was, right.
Me too.
I love a tiramisu.
I can't make it very well, but I can eat it really, really easily. And
I can eat it really well. Yeah. I've got a crumble later. I've got a rhubarb crumble.
Oh.
Have you? Oh,
I love
wow.
I'm quite pleased with the crumble topping.
What have you done?
Come on, tell me.
Well, there's no... I can't get flour for, you know, for anything, for all the tea. So I just had absolutely billions of almonds, ground up my own... And what I did is I didn't take it to... you know when you buy ground almonds? I took it way beyond that to an almond flour.
Whoa.
Butter... Dark sugar.
Boom.
Unbelievable. And then some oats at the last minute.
Sensational. Oh, that sounds very
And
nice.
What have you done with your rhubarb? Have you sweetened it with anything? Have you done ginger? Have you orange, anything?
Yeah, a bit of ginger. Sometimes I put, what's it called? Orange water in there.
Orange,
exactly that. Orange water.
Yeah.
And sometimes, if I haven't got anything else, I put a bit of elderflower cordial, just a little bit.
She's good.
Instead of sugar.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
It's all right.
She's good.
It works okay. But today, a bit of ginger I smashed up. But supplies are a bit low, so that's it. I've got a lot of ginger in because I've been feeling super sick. So, I always
sick,
have loads of it in.
Throw up sick or like
yeah,
you think
just,
you're ill?
Just, no, not ill, just sicky.
Do you think you've got it all the time? Because I am a really normal human being and now I think I've got it every single second.
I think I've had it. I'm not sure though. And I don't want to, I'm sort of wary of saying I had because I know that, you know. But I lost my sense of taste for about 2 weeks. Which was really profound. I've never, I sort of am quite sinusy, so I'm used to not being able to always smell everything. But to not taste, it was just really confounding.
That's unnerving, very
and
unnerving.
Joyless.
Yeah.
And then did it just come back?
It came back. The reason I think I might have had it is my lungs are really bad, and they've been bad for a long, but about sort of 4 or 5 weeks now. I just can't get my breath, can't really walk very far. I think it's just a sort of, but it might well be, like my brother suddenly got tree pollen allergy and he's wheezing and coughing. It might just be something like that. I suffer with quite a lot of anxiety and I as a lot of people do, but I've been relatively okay with this. It's just sometimes in the night I wake up and I just feel so incredibly sad. Not for me, actually, because I have this extraordinarily privileged, lucky life, but just clapping. I live at the top of the hill and we looked down and we were all clapping the NHS yesterday. And for the second week in a row, I just burst into tears. Yeah, I just thought, in this too. Basin where all these big buildings are, where no one has space, I'm lucky to have a bit of space. I just felt so fucking sad.
Me too.
Do you know what I mean? It's like... So it wasn't, it was not anxiety that I've got it, but like that people are losing loved ones, you know, down in town. And down in every town, you know, it's a strange time, isn't it? It's a really strange, I do hope you're right. I hope we all come out of it kinder and more self-aware and, but maybe we won't. We're just selfish pigs with our heads in troughs, aren't we? So maybe we'll just go back.
Yeah, who steal toilet rolls and.
Oh my God.
And flour.
Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. Yeah, who knows?
Do you get anxious, Melly, about it?
I am trying to stop my kids from getting anxious about it.
Yeah.
So I feel, you know, with two teenagers in the house, you know, things can get a bit hormonal and a bit up and down, you know. I'm just trying to sort of, I don't know, not distract them from it. Mm. I don't want to go on about it too much to them.
Yeah, you've got to keep calm. You've
got to keep calm.
But where does your anxiety go? Because as a parent, I'm not lucky enough to be a parent, but I guess you're so mindful of being there for your little ones. Where does all your panic and worry and weirdness and complicated stuff go? Does it come back at the end of the day when they're in bed? Do you just bury it so deep that it then comes out at other completely disconnected times? What happens to it?
Terrible thrush, mate. Absolutely terrible thrush.
Oh.
It's the old classic. Yeah.
The old downstairs wallpaper page.
Yep. Absolutely, yep. It came on about three days ago. Yeah,
I've
absolutely.
Never had
it. Oh, shame.
That's my absolute go-to.
It's your go-to, isn't it? Yeah. She's deeply yeasty.
That's your weak spot, if you'll pardon the
Oh, my God. I love this so much.
I just hope there's no blooming shortage of natural yogurt, otherwise I will be in quite a bit of trouble.
Is that true, though, if you shove that up the old...
Nunny.
Up the old special purse? Then,
works a treat.
Does it make it? It makes it better.
A special purse. I love that.
I always think I'm doing a really weird children's show. Why it'd be better saying special purse? People think I'm an absolute creep.
I'm going to start using that. Love
special
it.
Purse.
Yeah. She calls it a fan fan, Jessie.
Sorry, yeah, my daughter calls it a fan fan. I'll tell her to. But I prefer to use fan fan than special purse, to be honest.
Fan fan is good. I like fan fan.
Can I just say that at home I'm playing a very good game that I'm really enjoying called oral thermometer or rectal thermometer?
Oh, that's fun.
Oh,
that's fun.
So as a gag, I put one deep up the bum and then one and doesn't know. Nobody else knows, so they have it's an absolute lottery. I know. I absolutely know which one.
Hope you do.
Who are you playing this with? The staffy and your partner?
Anybody who wants to.
Do you know another good game we did this the other night? We were sitting around the table. You have to imagine your nightmare lockdown partners.
Oh, wow, that's a good one. It's like if you had to.
Yeah, so it's your first round.
Would you rather?
It's people that you know. So people that you all know. And then your second round is celebrity nightmare lockdown. It's quite good fun, lads. Just do it at home. It's great fun.
Oh, I like that.
Gorgeous, beautiful women. When is your hit show coming out, Hit Men?
It's out, Mum.
It's really out already?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
And
I haven't seen it.
I bet it's doing very, very well. Lockdown viewing.
Yeah.
You can get it on... Now TV, I think you can, you know, get a
Sky.
Box of it.
I thought it was on Sky.
It's a Sky original. Yeah, you can get it on Sky One on Catch Up. The whole box set is there. Or as Melly says, you can get it on Now TV if you've got an entertainment package.
And you wrote it and starred in it. And
we didn't write it. Thank God.
Oh, I thought you wrote it.
We should never be allowed to write it. No.
We didn't write it.
A writer called the Joes wrote it. We just sort of fanny around in it.
We fan a lot in it.
Lots of secret
fan a lot.
Was it so fun to make?
Do you know what? Man. It was a real ruddy relief not to have written it and just to be given these great scripts and just have fun. It was so much fun. It really was.
Where did you film it?
So we did about half of it, 10 minutes down the road from where I live, which I know that was, yeah, perks.
That was an hour and a half in the car each way. Although, to be fair, I'm whining about A, having a car.
I know.
Absolute wanker. But B... My mate Craig was driving. Craig is unreal. It was an absolute pleasure. Craig is the Don.
He's amazing. And then we did. So half it was down in West London, and then we did about probably half of it over far east, gritty East London.
Near City Airport.
City Airport, yeah, where all the sort of cool gritty locations are. You know, sort of run down old factories, and because the storyline's quite gritty. You know, we play a couple of hitmen basically. We have to bump people off for a living.
If only they'd thought about that by putting it in the title.
Some people have said, oh, why isn't it Hit Women? I like the fact that it's Hit Men. I don't know. I just find it's quite...
Yeah, it's cool.
It's funny, isn't it?
Female friends of mine are actors. They don't say actresses anymore. I think it's okay.
Oh, they all call it actors. It's all actors.
Oh, it's all actors now, darling.
Yeah, you don't call people actress. No.
Before you go, just tell us, when this is all over and you have a terrific big party and there's karaoke, what will be your song now?
I love rock and roll, Joan Jett, for me.
Oh, wow.
Great.
What about you, Perks?
Well, it should be something like Who's Zooming Who after all the endless sort of video conferencing
Who's
that's
zooming?
Gone on.
Yeah.
But my normal karaoke one is Midnight Train to Georgia, Gladys Knight.
Gladys Knight. Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
Love the Pips.
Last question. I feel like you can both answer this for each other, but do you have good table manners?
I think both of us were taught from a young age. I remember my dad, if our elbow went on the table, dad's hand would come out of sorry, I'm belching up the lovely pie I've been eating. It was very delicious. His hand would come out like a
bit of ricotta feedback.
Yeah, like
ricotta.
Like a sort of machete out of a hidden bush, and he would swipe at the elbow so that your elbow would
God.
Machete coming.
Maybe I'll try that next
bush.
Week.
Jessica!
I was brought up by nuns. Well, not brought up by nuns, but I was educated by nuns for like the first few years. And I was left-handed and they wanted me to eat right-handed. Ooh. And I would just get whacked every time
that
I picked
is
up
terrible.
The knife off. I know. And then my dad got wind of it and he was so angry that I'd been hit that he took a dim view. He did go in and had a little word in inverted commas with Sister Mary Dorothy. Shouldn't do it anymore. But it was quite a thing.
Strict
table
manners.
Yeah, no elbows on the table, no talking while you're eating. But actually, I suppose the nuts and bolts of that are really, really annoying when you're a kid. But essentially, the not talking while you're eating means you're listening and you have much better conversations. So if there's a point...
Yeah, it's true.
So we used to just... I really miss those family dinners because
it'd
be
too.
The one point of the day. You know, we both had dads that, you know, mums that went out to work or were working at home and it was super busy and us kids were always sort of harem scarem. And then you'd just sit down and, you'd hear, you'd listen. You'd actively listen.
And laugh. Yeah. There was a lot of laughter.
It's really important family meals together.
Everything. It's everything.
They totally, totally are. So, yes, Friday night dinner. As and when this
you have to come.
Oh yeah, you're definitely coming over.
But thank you.
Thank you both.
Honestly, it's really cheered me up seeing you two and chatting. Honestly,
I'm glad.
Jessica, I have to tell you, I was on the brink, and it's made me feel a bit.
I know. Don't be on the brink, Lenny.
No, not. I mean, I've been. Yeah, I'm probably
she's dramatic.
Slightly egging the pudding, but I am dramatic, but I have been very fed up.
Yeah, it's
difficult.
It's up and down, isn't it? I feel good one day.
It's not lonely, it's the isolation. I feel like Julian Assange, to be perfect.
All right, Wiki.
Less rapey. Less rapey.
All right, Wiki Leaks. Come on.
Well, that's cheered me up. They're just naturally funny, comical women. They're just mistresses or masters of comedy.
They are
super clever.
The warmest, sweetest. They have such a wonderful... You know what, Mum?
They love each other.
We aren't Mel and Sue,
but
I'm going to be a bit kinder to you, I've decided.
Thank you, darling.
The way that... Perky.
Perky.
Little Perk. Melly.
Melly.
What should I call you?
Mum.
Okay, but I just love how they are with each other. They adore each other. They don't get annoyed. They're just like, they bounce off each other.
Jessie, I love that she recorded it in a wardrobe.
I know, it was very pro and dramatic. I liked it.
It was really nice. I just, honestly, I feel like I've had a hug from the greatest comedic duo.
Yeah.
It was just lovely. It's exactly what I needed, to be honest.
Me too.
And I think it's what you needed too.
Yeah, I did.
I just smiled and sat back and enjoyed listening to them. It was brilliant. I loved that. I love you, Mum. I'm sorry that I'm not with you.
I feel like
everyone needs a bit of Mel and Sue in their life. This was just absolutely wonderful.
It was great.
And go and watch their show, Hitmen, because they are just so funny and brilliant how they bounce off each other. Thank you for listening, and stay safe. Look after yourselves. Give your family members and friends a call, and we'll be with you again next week. This is Table Manners Special Circumstances. Lots of love. Wash your hands. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.